ideal family life. This chapter describes the occupational duties of the household according to the time, the country, and the performer. When Yudhisthira Maharaj became very much inquisitive about the occupational duties of the householder, Narada Muni advised him that a grihastha's first duty is to be fully dependent on Vasudev, Krishna, and to try satisfy him in all respects by executing prescribed devotional service. This devotional service will depend on the instructions of authorities and the association of devotees who are actually engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is sravanam, or hearing. One must hear from the mouth of realized souls. In this way, the grihastha's attraction to his wife and children will gradually be reduced. As for the maintenance of his family, a grihastha, while earning what he requires for his living, must be very conscientious and must not undergo extraordinary endeavors simply to accumulate money and unnecessarily increase the material comforts. Although a grihastha should externally be very active in earning his livelihood, he should internally be situated as a fully self-realized person. Without attachment for material gains, his dealing with family members or friends should be performed simply to fulfill their purpose. One should not be extravagantly engaged in this way. Instructions from family members and society should be accepted superficially, but in the essence, the grihastha should be engaged in occupational duties advised by the spiritual master and shastra. Specifically, a grihastha should engage in agriculture activities to earn money. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 1844, Krishi Guruksha Vanijyam, agriculture, cow protection, and grave are specific duties for grihasthas. If by chance or by the grace of the Lord more money comes, it should be properly engaged for the Krishna consciousness movement. One should not be eager to earn more money simply for sensual pleasure. A grihastha should always remember that one who is endeavoring to accumulate more money than necessary is to be considered a thief and is punishable by the laws of nature. A grihastha should be very much affectionate to lower animals, birds and beasts, treating them exactly like his own children. A grihastha should not indulge in killing animals or birds for sense gratification. He should provide the necessities of life even to the dogs and the lowest creatures, and should not exploit others for sense gratification. Factually, according to the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, every grihastha is a great communist who provides the means of living for everyone. Whatever a grihastha may possess, he should equally distribute to all living entities without discrimination. The best process is to distribute prasad. A grihastha should not be very much attached to his wife. He should engage even his own wife in serving a guest with all attention. Whatever money a grihastha accumulates by the grace of God, he should spend in five activities, namely worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, receiving Vaishnava from a saintly person, distributing prasad to the general public, and to all living entities, offering prasad to his forefathers, and also offering prasad to his own self. Grihasthas should always be ready to worship everyone as mentioned above. The grihasthas should not eat anything not offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 3:13, the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. The grihastha should also visit the holy places of pilgrimage mentioned in the Puranas. In this way, he should fully engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the benefit of his family, his society, his country, and humanity at large. Thanks for holding. Sri Yudhisthira Vacha Grihasthaitam Padam Vidinayena Chanjasa Javaddevadishebruhi Madhisukrihamudade. Yudhisthira Maharaj said, Grihastha, a person living with his family. Etam, this. The process mentioned in the previous chapter. Badarim.
Badarim.
Position of liberation.
Position of liberation.
Vidina.
Vidina.
According to the instructions of Vedic scripture.
According to the instructions of Vedic scripture.
Yena.
Yena.
By which.
By which.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Anjasa.
Anjasa.
Easily.
Easily.
Yavat.
Yavat.
Sorry, it is Yayat.
Yayat.
May get.
May
get. Devarishi.
Devarishi.
O great sage among the demigods.
O great sage among the
Bruhi,
Bruhi,
kindly explain.
Madrisha,
such as me.
Grihamudati,
completely ignorant of the goal of life. Translation: Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni, O my Lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas. Purport: In the previous chapters, the great sage Narada has explained how a brahmacharya vanaprastha and sannyasi should act. He first explained the dealings of a brahmacharya, vanaprastha and sannyasi, because these three ashrams, or statuses of life, are extremely important for the fulfillment of the goal of life. One should know that in the brahmacharya ashram, vanaprastha ashram, and sannyasa ashram, there is no scope for sex life, whereas sex is allowed in grihastha life under regulation. Narada Muni therefore first described brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas because he wanted to stress that sex is not at all necessary, although one who absolutely requires it is allowed to enter grihastha life or household life, which is also regulated by the shastras and guru. Yudhisthira Maharaj could understand all. Therefore, as a grihasthi, he presented himself as Grihamudati, one is completely ignorant of the goal of life. A person who remains a householder in family life is certainly ignorant of life's goal. He is not very much advanced in intelligence. As soon as possible, one should give up his so-called comfortable life at home and prepare to undergo austerity or tapasya. Tapo divyam putrak. According to the instructions given by Risadeva to his sons, we should not create a so-called comfortable situation, but must prepare to undergo austerity. This is how a human being should actually live to fulfill life's ultimate goal. So, just reading this introduction and purport to the first verse, I mean, we're looking at quite a high standard here. We're looking at a standard of basically as much as possible being preoccupied with spiritual life and considering all other things as secondary. So the title of the chapter is Ideal Family Life, and that's the situation. There is actual family life and there is ideal family life, and also actual sannyas and ideal sannyas, and actual brahmachari and ideal brahmachari, and well, vanaprastha. The problem with vanaprasthas is that they don't exist. So what to do? Or very rare and not defined. How do you do it? What do you do? How do you make it all meaningful? But let us begin with the end and then work our way back. Antakala chalameva svaramuja kadivam. The end is meant to remember Krishna somehow or other. The end of life, we must remember Krishna. And then there's life itself, and so many things to do, and so many things that get us very busy. First you're young, you just play, and school starts, and all these things, and then, oh boy, So, but it is good to begin at the end and to see what we need to do to get to that stage. What do we, how do we need to live to actually become pure devotees and to remember Krishna at the end of life? Obviously, it's not a matter of a decision. One cannot say, I shall be Krishna consciousness. I shall be Krishna conscious. It doesn't work. No. The mind is restless. Tam chalam mana Krishna. That mind goes everywhere except Krishna. Savai mana Krishna padarindriyo. To fix the mind at Krishna's lotus feet is not possible by a decision. It must be done through cultivation. And cultivation means investment of time and energy in hearing, chanting, and remembering and serving Krishna, somehow or other. It is these things that will make the difference. Therefore, first of all, devotional service. Let us build a life around devotional service. And here, at least in the summary of the chapter, it was kind of referring to the general grihastha who lives in a private situation away from a temple, and we see that Prabhupada has created another model where grihasthas can be part of a community, a spiritual community. And you're living in such a community. So that is a great advantage. And then automatically so many things are there. Then automatically there is a temple. Automatically there is a program. Automatically there is devotional service related to the temple. One can serve the deities or do something for other service for the temple. So in that way, there is a special benefit. If one lives a grihastha life at home and one is far away from a temple, then you have to create it all there. Then you have to have your own deities and worship them and make them the proprietor of the house and so on. And so that may be a little more difficult. At least I lived a grihastha ashram in a temple community, and basically my home was a place where I would sleep and take showers, and that was about it. I never did much more than there, over there. I mean, sometimes I would eat also. But, yeah, some reading. There was a but otherwise, I was always in the temple. So that's easy. And that, in that way, grihastha life very much resembles the brahmacharya ashram. It's not such a great change then. And Srila Prabhupada organized it in that way to make it easy for us. Because it's just not so easy. In the beginning, when we get involved in Krishna consciousness, then it is all about making major changes in our life. One has to change the way one was doing everything. Now take bath more often, now dress in a different way, now rise at another time, now eat differently. So many things. It's like, I remember my early days in Krishna consciousness and senior devotees who would the whole day say, no, that's offensive. Everything I did was offensive. Yeah? All the time. Yeah, I couldn't go in the kitchen in this way because it was offensive. I couldn't sit like that, but it was also offensive. Yeah. So it was a lot of adjustment. In the beginning of spiritual life is like that. It's about adjusting. But then, once we are settled in, spiritual culture. And then comes the phase where one has to maintain it, and that's difficult, just to maintain. You know, when you are making big changes, you feel you're making some real advancement, but when you are maintaining the same old thing, day in, day out, it gets difficult, it gets dry, it gets like, where do you get the strength, where do you get the inspiration to do it again and again? That is the first question. I often like to remind myself and others that the name Krishna means all attractive, and that Krishna is really all attractive, and that therefore the inspiration has to come from Krishna in finding out more about Krishna, and that that should be our source. Hearing about Krishna, reading about Krishna, that's the beginning of inspiration. And then of course Lord Chaitanya, who is the Yuga avatar, the particular incarnation ruling this time. And then after hearing about Krishna, all right, then let's do something for Krishna. One of the biggest problems in our movement is that people don't read. Yeah. Personally, I don't care about Krishna East, Krishna West, Krishna North, Krishna South, or somewhere Krishna on a mountain, or Krishna in the valley, or wherever, you know. What I care about is, are we actually taking time to hear about Krishna? And if not, we are diseased, because if we don't hear, then our chanting will become mechanical. It will become a burden. It will become a very difficult task every day again to fulfill these 16 rounds. And sometimes one will just say, well, I don't know if I can do it anymore. I just have no taste. And it begins with hearing. So yeah, but I have no taste for this hearing. Okay. Then you can begin one step earlier, which is Shushu Sho Shabadanasya Vasudeva Katahuchi Shan Mahatsevya Vipapunyatevya. Serve the devotees. Because by serving the devotees, one gets the taste of Vasudeva Katahuchi. One gets the taste to hear about Krishna. Krishna is amazing. For the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna was always amazing. It is stated in the Krishna book that as Krishna was walking to Vrindavan, he would leave his footprints everywhere, all over Vrindavan. And no one would ever step on Krishna's footprints. No way. Everyone was like worshipping these footprints, so everyone was very careful not to step on Krishna's footprints. So these footprints were all over Vrindavan, and not even the animals would step on Krishna's footprints. Oh no, never. They were all devotees. So simple things like that, just nice. At least when I hear, my mind goes, nice. Yes. It is said that in that way, when this pastime took place with Kaliya, and that day Krishna had gone to the forest to look for a lost calf. He personally cared. And all the cows and cowherd boys had stayed on their own near the young water from the river, which happened to be poisoned by Kaleo, who had just arrived and was very poisonous. And as a result, I find that an interesting detail, as a result, all the cowherd boys and all the calves died. They died. Krishna didn't come to save them. Sorry, you know, they actually died. Oh, well, can happen, you know. But then Krishna, he came to that place. He came to that place, found all his friends and all the calf dead. And then Krishna revived them. So, you can imagine the cowherd boys were sort of going like, we're alive, we were dead, but we're back alive. They were in quite a state of shock, and then next moment they see that Krishna climbs in a tree and jumps from the tree into the Yamuna, and as he comes into the Yamuna, the water of the Yamuna goes up by 1 foot, you know, just to show that although Krishna was small, that actually the impact was quite big. And then Krishna made some musical sounds with the water, something like anyway, whatever it was, that sound was a challenge to Kaleo. He said, who dares to go into this water when I am here? And that's when the fight began. And Yasoda, she immediately felt it. Something is wrong, and some inauspicious omens were in the sky. And the elders in Vrindavan, they all felt that something is wrong, and they followed the footsteps, because no one ever walked on Krishna's footsteps, and they could clearly see which ones were fresh, and they were following the footsteps to the Yamuna, and then saw Krishna in the coils of Kali. So, these pastimes of Krishna are very nice. And one may say, yeah, nice, but we've heard it before. You know what I mean? Same old thing. Kali, yeah. Krishna in the coils of Kali. My mother used to tell me, you know, a bedtime story. Tell me all about it. Yeah, Krishna in Kali, sure. And then, shall I tell you the rest of the story? Kali danced on the root of. Krishna danced on the roots of Kaliya, and everybody knows the story, and Kaliya became purified by the prince of Krishna's lotus feet, and then Garuda wouldn't come and all these things, because Krishna's lotus footprints were now on the head of Kaliya. Heard it before? You got a new story? No? Same old Kaliya story? You're not going to tell the whole story in the Bhagavatam class, are you? We hope. I mean, you got something new. Swamis are supposed to have new stories, things we never heard. Yeah, well, you know, I first joined in Vrindavan and stayed there for some time, but then I had to go and I got really sick also. I got jaundice and I was totally finished and bright yellow, so for a little while I didn't stay in the temple because I thought in the temple they're gonna die, you know. And then when I was a bit better, I went back to the temple. And then when I came back to the temple, I said, I'd like to move in. He said, okay, sit here and read that magazine. I said, I already read it. And then they said, a devotee can read it again and again. And that was the instruction, so I did it. I sat there waiting, reading that magazine again and again, the same thing. And I must say that I really got something out of it. Actually, you know, this story goes back a little further. Before I was a devotee, I had two books. One somehow or other the Bhagavad Gita, and the other one was the Krishna book. And the Krishna book, oh, couldn't read it. I thought, this book, you know, oh,
It was too much, you know.
And why I didn't like it, I will tell you. Because in every story there was a demon, and then there was Krishna, and then 1, 2, 3, 5, and bang, demon dead. Finished. You know, like, there's no plot in this book, you know what I mean? I was used to these kind of books where you're reading and you're not sure who's gonna win, and you have to look at the last page, otherwise, you know, you're gonna die if you don't look at the last page. The tension is just too much. So there's no plot in this book. There's no tension. I couldn't appreciate it. But after that day, when I read that magazine, I realized it's not so much about whether the story is a new story. It's in the detail. It's about going deeper and deeper into the detail. Deeper exploring Krishna and his qualities, his amazing characteristics. Srimati Radharani is doing the same. But whenever she explores the qualities of Krishna and discovers a new quality of Krishna, she immediately loves that quality. And in this way, her love for Krishna is increasing. And it also starts to happen to us. At least, you know, we might say, well, kind of nice, right? Kind of nice that Krishna leaves his footprints and nobody steps on it. Sort of nice thing. Imagine you would have that in the Gokula. Krishna's footsteps everywhere. That would be cool. Some people might say, we have, Maharaj, we have. Yeah, why not? You know, if you have transcendence. Because the Brahman explained the jiva never falls from the spiritual world. Sorry, you know what I mean? There is this rumor that jivas fall from the spiritual world. But Prabhupada said they don't, because they're still here. We are in the spiritual world right now. Are we? Yes, we are. Really? Do we also have tissues in the spiritual world? And noses. I guess they have noses, but no runny noses. Must be good. A nose that doesn't run. Imagine. Wow. So like that, how are we in the spiritual world? We are. The more we are absorbed in remembering Krishna. And then Krishna will reveal himself completely and we'll be able to see Krishna. Yayasya hiryadashi kamalamasagri nikilaswapi avastadu yudamuktasarvachite. Then Krishna will be visible to us and will actually be in the spiritual world. And that's how it's supposed to be. So in that sense, we are in the spiritual world. Meanwhile, it is said in the scriptures, now it's a cultivation, and therefore we must practice this. Abhyasi yogi yuktena chetasananya kavina paramam purusam divyam yati prajnasati. So we have to every day practice something. And reading is part of that. I want to emphasize reading because it's one thing we don't do. Chanting, okay, we sort of chant something. But reading is sort of one of those things, you never get round to it. And it's that, it's there where taste disappears. And it's essential, essential. So we must, somehow or other, always hearing and chanting. Again chanting, and then again hearing. Chanting, and again hearing. Hearing. Very important. And in that way, we can, and then we'll serve the devotees, and we'll surely find inspiration in our Krishna consciousness, and a desire to go back to Godhead. This desire is important. One of my disciples, a lady, she said, I don't know if I want to go back to Godhead. Said, yeah, I don't know anybody there. Yeah. let's get to know somebody then. Let's get to know them all. Radu Mangal. Let's get to know Krishna and his associates. Let's read about them. Stoka Krishna. Let's get to know them. Let's get to know them very well and hear about them. Then, naturally, a desire will develop to go back to the spiritual world. Right? So this is important, that we cultivate that desire to go back to Godhead. When we have that desire, then we can sacrifice. Then you can do all these things that are described here, you know, like what the grihasthas should be doing, putting Krishna first and not chasing after money and not going for unnecessary comforts and basically, you know, get into the austerity of spiritual life and all these kind of things. That, you know, is possible when we have a desire to go back to the spiritual world. That's the key. That is the key. Okay, any questions? Any comments? Yeah.
Thank you very much. Master, I mean, you know, not being defined as such.
Not being?
Not being defined. At current age, look where we are. Both. But how do you see my comment before is just that you know, they're obviously in a stage of renunciation and letting go of the activities of the grihastha.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's defined by that consciousness. But where do you think it should be end, or how it should develop?
Okay. I think when I speak about Lanaprastha, the first thing I'd like to do is take away the fear. It's there's a fear, because there is this idea that vanaprastha means that you have to separate from your family, and that's not a fact. That's not the case. So that's the first point. So I want to take away that fear, because that makes vanaprastha the ignored ashram, you know, if we have to separate, you know, I mean, that we don't really want, and then we start to look for arguments why we don't. Our ashram is transcendental, it's favorable for serving Krishna, therefore we should not separate. Advaita Acharya didn't separate, Srivas didn't separate, like there are many examples who didn't separate. So, this separation, or this forced separation concept, and that is vanaprastha, is not necessarily the model. There are different models. There is a model where one separates. And in some cases, you know, a lot of people divorce after 20, 25 years of marriage in the world, because they're sort of ready to say, okay, good luck now, you're on your own, darling, you know, and, you know, in ISKCON also, right, sometimes it's the ladies who feel like, okay, you know, why don't you go take vanaprastha now, you know, it's about time. I know these situations, you know. It's like, so, and separation sometimes makes sense. But if one wants to do it together, that is also possible. But, okay, the idea is tapo divyam, that we perform austerities for Krishna, in devotional service, and that we simplify life. The kids are supposed to be grown up, and, you know, some money is put aside for them, and now for the rest, they gotta do it themselves. They also got to do something to get on with life. So there's no need to stay with them till the very end and support them until they're 50 and so on. They should learn to take care of themselves. But of course, then there are the grandchildren. Fine, can do something for them too. But one should not forget that, yeah, our time's running out. To remember Krishna at the end of life is not so easy, because it all comes at you. And if you're very attached, that will come at you. You know, it's like, and now I'm losing all these things. Oh no. But then it becomes hard to focus on Krishna. So therefore, Panchachoram Vanam Prajat. Let's do it now. Let's do it before we die. Let us simplify life and let us just focus on remembering Krishna. Go to holy places and so on. So, get a place in Ali Dham. Start spending time there. Maybe invest some money for a change, so that you don't stop at zero all the time. So have a little money and some good enough to worry about it. Can just stay in the Dham peacefully. And then actually take time to read. When you're 50, it's actually normal to sit down and read. See, when you're 25, sit down. I mean, it's so much to do, you know. I've got to run around, you know. I got millions of things to do. I've got to go here, there, everywhere. You know, time to sit down, you know what I mean? Who has time to sit down? Well, I'm 50. Sit down a bit. It's no harm. And then read. And actually read deeply for hours. Read the Bhagavatam. Really read it now. And it's amazing. As we do it, it's amazing. So that's really the essence of it. Let's read, you know. Let's chant. And let's get absorbed. And 50 means that. And that's the essence of all across. And if you want to do it together, do it together. If you want to do it alone, do it alone. But no more sex life, it says. So that's the minimum level of Vanaprastha. No new sex life. And simplify life. And increase hearing and chanting. And pilgrimages and all these things. I mean, kind of do something if you want to go back to Godhead. It ain't coming automatically. I'm just in the Hare Krishna movement for my whole life. From automatic pilot. Sort of. Somehow or other I survived. And I'm still here. And yeah, and I'll just go back to God. I don't know. Maybe not. Can I take it for granted? Try something. Yeah.
My question is about the spiritual world.
The spiritual world.
In some Western cultures, people are using some kind of, I can say, spiritual practices, such as they are calling out the spirits of their passed away.
The spirits of?
Of their passed away.
Away.
Passed away.
Relatives. Passed away.
So the ancestors. Of the air, those who passed away. Thank you.
Passed away. Relatives, friends, or even some celebrities.
Sure. A little channel, you know, and making the table float, and you know, and all this kind of thing.
Or asking them questions, or even talking. And my question is:
do we do that also?
What the Krishna teachings says about such kind of practices? They are or bad or.
These are practices in the mode of ignorance. These are not practices that are spiritual. These are practices that are material. We use material techniques to connect with ancestors who have passed on. And through these techniques, one can apparently communicate with them. Is this, it's of course, some people are very interested in this. But it's not going to help us in any way to develop our love for God. Right? So the first thing we have to give up is material, ordinary material things. The second thing we have to give up is mystical things, the mystical powers, the mystical messengers, and all that. It's also material. It becomes an obstacle. So we give that up. And just, you know, we don't need powers from such beings. All that we need is Krishna. We just turn to Krishna and take our shelter. So when we meet such people who do such things, no, we don't join those activities. It's not beneficial for developing attachment to Krishna. It doesn't help to remember Krishna at the time of death. Rather, you may remember those beings at the time of death, and you may join them. And then you'll also be there alone with the ghosts, floating around in the night. So it's not advisable. It may start out very innocently, but sometimes it goes really bad. People become possessed by ghosts in these ways. The ghosts take over, and the ghosts begin to speak to them. They hear voices, they get instructions, they become controlled and haunted by the ghosts. So ghosts are not as innocent as they seem to be. There was a story about a man who also got into this communication with ghosts. And he was in his 20s, and he got involved with the ghost of this 17-year-old girl, and she had died in an accident. And, you know, he had an incredible relationship with her. Incredible. They had such a communication. He fell in love. He felt totally in love. And all he could do was think of her day and night and nothing else. And he became totally obsessed by thinking of this girl. Then, somehow or other, he read this book about channeling. And in the book, there was an interesting chapter. And the chapter said that ghosts, they cheat. And they are not always the one that they say they are. And they just take this so-called identity, but it's not necessarily true. And he got some doubts. Oh my God, is this girl, is it real? And he started to investigate, you know, was there such a girl? And he started to investigate all the records and this, that. And gradually he realized, I got cheated by a girl. I don't know who said that. You. No, this was long before Facebook was invented. Same. Yeah. Yeah. No, Facebook is just a cult. It's not that. Facebook is not a ghost. Facebook is just a collective mind of many people. Yeah. But if you think about what Facebook really is, a collective mind of many people. So, I mean, we have enough of our own mind to make a kind of deal with all these other minds. Yeah. There are dark corners in people's minds. So, you find everything on Facebook. But Krishna is also on Facebook. That's the good thing about it. In the Jubilee Marriage, it's on Facebook. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I also have 5,000 friends. I can't have more friends. What a drag. Come on. Yeah. I have more friends. It's a friend on Facebook. Any other questions?
She was speaking about the Radhakrishna ashram, and that it's a good opportunity to, or generally, start doing more preaching, more active preaching.
You can also preach. We see that Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada's model of Vanaprastha was a model of going out preaching. But it is amazing how well read Prabhupada was. And it's clear that Prabhupada didn't start reading Bhagavatam when he was Vanaprastha, that he read the Bhagavatam long before. Because Prabhupada with his preaching will be so faithful to Bhagavatam. It's not easy. You can't catch up. So it shows the fruit of extensive reading. So yes, preaching is good, but we should not forget that it is time to go deeper. That it is also time to go deeper for ourselves. So the combination of both, going deep in reading and preaching. And in preaching, it is something like, you see sometimes these karate movies, and you see like the young guy, and he's like coming out, and he does something like, and then like, he's like tough to fight, And then at the end, the master comes out, right? He's some old, crooked looking guy, but he's got all the chi, He's got like all that concentrated chi, like, and just throws it like, and the opponent flies through the sky, right? And so it should be like that. It should be more concentrated. We preach, but more concentrated. Brahmachari Ashram, Brahmacharini Ashram. They are the legs, They got to do the running around. Run here, run there, run everywhere. Go out every day, distribute books every day. Vanaprastha, ow, back. This book bag is great, but it's like, ouch. Right? Feet are killing you. So preach, but more concentrated. 50 is only the beginning, like then 60 comes. I told Ajit that I have shingles, it's a Swami disease. But it's not a Swami disease, it's over 60. Over 60. Anybody over 60? It's fun. So now, when you're 50, you can still read. When you're 70, you get more biblical. And when you're 80, you get sick and sleeping over the book. Right? So never was there a time when we read, right? Never was there a time when we did ever read. When we were young, we were too busy. When we were later on, there's always an excuse, And then, so, if we don't do it at 50, I think we're never going to. But we do want to preach. I'm all for it. Yeah, I also want to preach. So, finish.
Maharaj.
When the Pandavas were inquiring, Yudhisthira inquired for Narayana.
Were they all together?
I have no idea. Can't remember. It says Yudhisthira is here, whether the others were there also, I can't. Okay. There you go. Things like that, you just check them up. The other day, someone asked me, who is Narottam Das Thakur again in Krishna Lila? And my answer was, why don't you Google it? So, same thing. It's like, just Google. No, that's too simple. It's just that Just like Maharaj Pariksit was hearing from Sukadev Goswami many things that he knew, but it says he was inquiring for the sake of strictness. So there was a saintly person, right? So that's the opportunity. So inquire, even about what you actually already think you know. But you may be surprised, and Narada may come out with something that you didn't know. So therefore, Yudhisthira was very eager. And he presented himself as a Griha Mudadi, one who's completely ignorant of the goal of life. And in that way, he was in the mood, ready to hear. Otherwise, well, yeah, Grihastha, yeah. I wrote a book about the Grihastha Ashram myself, and I'm working on the second one, and I've been in there for 30 years, and like, you know, and what can a Swami tell me anyway? What does he know about these things? Well, if he was married before, that helps, you know, but even then, you know. But Narada Muni was never married, and yet he was the other. So you just didn't see.